Welcome to the DermVet Podcast. I'm Dr. Ashley Bourgeois, a board-certified veterinary dermatologist practicing in Portland, Oregon with animal dermatology clinics. I'm also a mom of two, just trying to find the balance like everyone else. Let's learn to ditch the itch, cytology, everything, and make derm more fun than frustrating.
Treating eustotitis seems simple enough. When I'm lecturing about topical treatment of otitis, I'll get asked, well, why even bother doing cytology? Because most of the products we use are combination products. They have an antifungal, an antibiotic, and a steroid in them, so we're kind of covering everything. Well, it does really matter what you're treating, because if we think about treating otitis, you know, often we're going to send home a flush, an eardrop. Do we need to think about something like systemic therapy? What if it doesn't respond? You know, do we just assume that it is a bacteria that didn't respond? Or what if our initial cytology would have showed a bunch of rod-shaped organisms? You recheck the pet a few weeks later, they say, oh, they're still shaking their head a lot. But then when you check cytology, there's actually yeast that's present. Well, that's going to change what I do, what's in the particular combination product. So that's why it is really important for us to actually sample these ears so we do know what we're treating. So yeast otitis seems simple enough, right? Like compared to Pseudomonas otitis, it's a much easier organism to get rid of for the most part. But how do we really address, let's say, a predominantly Malassezia otitis? I'm going to go through kind of the ways that I think about treating these cases as far as a flush, a topical, and maybe even systemic in very rare cases. But I just want to start with the fact that it is so important we're checking cytology, not only to diagnose it so we can pick appropriate treatment, because I do change which product I'm using, even if they are combination products. But also just making sure we're rechecking that infection before we stop therapy. Because if it's not better, maybe one portion of the infection got better, but something else happened. You know, maybe it's gotten worse. Maybe there's more inflammation now. Maybe there's more organisms. Maybe what was not there a few weeks ago is there now. So it is really important for us to do cytology. Remember, it's our minimum database when we're dealing with skin, and the same goes for ears. But if I have a predominantly yeast otitis, when I think of disinfectants I will use, if it's a more, you know, aggressive yeast otitis or the pet's really bothered by it, there are certain ear flushes I think that are more beneficial. Examples of that would be malacetic otic, which has 2% boric and 2% acetic acid in it. My favorite is Malacetic Ultra by Dechra. That's what I predominantly use in cases that have a lot of Malassezia or those chronic offenders where they just always seem to have a little bit of yeast in their ears. Think of like the Basset Hounds or the Bloodhounds, those really floppy ears. So then I love that product because it has 2% boric acid, acetic acid, which boric acid and acetic acid by itself, those two ingredients on their own can really help with Malassezia. But then it also has 1% hydrocortisone, which is really nice. Hydrocortisone is not the most anti-inflammatory steroid in the world, but it's something in that general flush that can help with some of the itch and discomfort they're having. And then you have 0.15% ketoconazole. So you have lots of things helping, you know, not only infection, but maybe a little bit of inflammation. So those are probably my two favorite. There's other things like Phytoket that are out there that have ketoconazole and phytosphingosine, but I would say Malassezia Ultra by far is the more common one I use. Now, if it's a more mild infection, I may just use a ceruminolytic. So I don't change every little yeast otitis to a Malassezia Ultra. You know, if it's more mild or just think the ear's not cleaning itself well, then I may just use a ceruminolytic as a general cleanser. So think Dukes of Micellar, pH Notix. Those would be really good ceruminolytics I send home with owners a lot. If I'm really worried about the yeast infection, then Malassezia Ultra, probably my favorite, Malassezia Otic, and there's other products out there as well. From a flush standpoint, are the ones that I tend to really like. Now let's start talking about our topical treatment, because that's going to be one of the main things that we are utilizing. So I do tend to use things that have azoles in them. Examples of products that have clotrimazole would be Otamax, Mometamax. Myconazole is in Sergulan, and myconazole is the most common one probably used in a lot of compounded formulations. So a lot of people have their own formulation of dexmiconazole. You know, many people do 50-50 as far as ratio. They'll just mix in 15 mils of miconazole, 15 mils of dex, and kind of send that home. And if you want just a strict anti-yeast and you don't want any antibiotic in it, that is a reasonable thing to do. Going back to the more commercial products with azoles, thiabendazoles, and trazoderm. Now, often what's overlooked is Posatex for anti-yeast. So this is why I say it is really important to know what you're treating. The anti-yeast in Posatex is posaconazole, and that is a newer generation triazole, and it is a more potent antifungal. In fact, there was a paper years ago that showed posaconazole compared to nystatin, miconazole, clotrimazole was the most effective antifungal over various liquid methods that they kind of looked at with their particular research product. So those are the ones that I think are the most, that's the one I feel like is the most potent quote-unquote antifungal. I don't start out every yeast otitis with posaconazole, which is in Posatex, but if I have one that's really not responding or it's mostly yeast organisms, then that is probably the one that I would actually try to rely on. Now, the other antifungal that is available that's not an azole would be terbinafine. So this is an alamine class. It's different than azoles. What they actually do is inhibit squalene epoxidation during sterile synthesis. So the ear treatments that are going to have that terbinafine in them that are commercially available are our extended leave-in. So think of Claro and Acernia. Acernia has about 1% of terbinafine. Claro has 1.48%. I don't know how much it really matters that the concentrations are different, because remember, Claro is a product that you only put in once and then it's effective for 4 weeks, about a month. And then Acernia is you put it in and then you recheck it and kind of evaluate how they're doing a week later and then reapply. So having the lower percentage in it is probably not necessarily, you know, I don't know from an efficacy standpoint, honestly, if those two really matter. There's pros and cons to both of those. It's nice to have the product that lasts longer, but for some people, they really like to recheck the ear quicker just to evaluate and make sure that they're actually responding. Some people also like that the tip in Acernia is a little bit longer and skinnier, so people find it easy to apply. So I think both are great products, but the important thing to realize is terbinafine isn't a different antifungal. So I think it can be really helpful, but something that is just different than the classic azoles that we use. Finally, there are kind of the other categories. So nystatin, that would be things that are like an Entoderm in Animax. So then finally, so we've kind of treated, so we have our flush that we're utilizing to help with the malassezia. Like I said, it kind of depends on if it's something that's more aggressive or something I can use this rheumolytic with. And then when I'm actually treating the malassezia, it kind of depends on what other infections there. But if I do have one that's a lot of yeast and it's not responding, I may just use something if it's predominantly yeast, like miconazole dex, just to not use an antibiotic. But if they're just really not responding, and sometimes I get cases referred to me that historically they've been treated and they're not responding, then I will switch into something like Posatex. Now, very, very, very rarely, so I don't use this very often, there is the possibility to do systemic antifungal treatment. And so, like I said, compared to bacteria, I don't have to use things like systemic antifungals often for yeast otitis cases. I have rarely had cases where, say, they're really, really severely affected and they're not responding to topical therapy, or the owners just cannot treat the ears at all. Then I very rarely have used systemic antifungals to treat a malassezia otitis. I've also had cases where I take cytology of their middle ear, like we've done a video otoscopy, and on the cytology of the middle ear, there's some yeast we find. And so then, because it's the middle ear, I will potentially consider treating them systemically. So it's not often, but if I am going to treat them systemically, that's very similar to how you would treat a dermatitis, like a malassezia dermatitis. So I'd probably use like ketoconazole or fluconazole, 5 to 10 mgs per kg once daily. Of course, we do have to be thoughtful of things like stomach upset, because these medications can cause that. Also, hepatotoxicity. So if they, I don't often see cases develop liver enzyme elevations from the azoles, but it is a risk and it is a possibility. if I have a dog who has a history of, say, liver enzyme elevations, and I need to use the antifungal, that's when I would turn to terbinafine. So as we talked about terbinafine being the antifungal in Claro and Osurnia, terbinafine is an oral antifungal that you can also use as a tablet. You use 20 to 30 mgs per kg once daily, and it usually is really well tolerated. Very, very rarely if it had GI upset, it doesn't tend to affect the liver. Kind of the pain with terbinafine is the fact that with that high dose and it only coming in 250 milligram tablets, you end up giving several tablets. So if you have a bigger dog, they may be giving, you know, 4 or 5 tablets once a day. So from that standpoint, in the client's compliance, it could be kind of annoying, but that is something that you can consider. But like I said, it's very, very rare that I consider using an antifungal for Malassezia otitis. It would have to either be an otitis media or like a deep infection, or one that like has not responded to several topical antifungals I've used. That is not common. Like, I feel like most of these I can get under control, whether I do, you know, switch their ear flush to something that they use more long term, if they're just one of those chronic offenders, or if we do switch the topical antifungal that we're using. So don't necessarily feel like if you have a yeast infection in the ear that you treated with one topical, you have to jump to systemic. You know, I urge you to evaluate, what topical did you use? Do you really feel like the owner is utilizing it? You know, you can switch to something like Posatex that has that more potent azole in it, the posaconazole, and see how they respond to that first. And then only if it's really a non-responsive yeast infection in the ear, or a like infection that is in the deep portion of the ear canal that's really difficult to get to, like the deep horizontal canal or the middle ear, do we consider going with systemic therapy. So I hope that's helpful. Like I said, it's so important for us to do cytology so we can know exactly what we're treating, because even though we have combination products, these are the things we really need to know. You know, has it just been a yeast one? Well, that's going to guide which product I switch them to. Have they really responded? Has the infection changed? Is there lots of inflammation there? These are all things that we really have to think about. But at least in the treatment of predominantly yeast otitis, I hope that you find this really, really helpful. And these are the discussions that we have in the Derm Nerds, are talking about these cases that, you know, are pretty common, but can be more difficult sometimes to get under control. So if that's something that you're ever interested in or want to check out, I completely urge you to become a Derm Nerd. And if you have questions about it, always feel free to reach out on my Instagram or through my website, because we would love to have you as part of that group.